Blog Talk Radio.
Archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Street Universe. My name is Daniel Michael, and I'm the founder, co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network. Tonight you're listening to Spiritual Insight, and your host will be Mr. Darren Boucaire, and he'll be joining us in a few minutes. But first, I'd like to do some station plugs. We'll start right off with the one you're listening to now, which is Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Boucaire. It comes on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And Darren is a reader at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. On Monday evenings is Walking on the Sidewalk with your host, Kevin Baird. Kevin Baird is the creator of the Horizon Oracle Cards. Kevin can be found at www.templeofgaia.com. And Kevin, my co-creator network, him and I started this together. Now it's grown and grown and grown. Takes us to our next show, Tuesday evening at 10 p.m. Welcome our new hostess, Susan Weed, for show Green Magic and Green Medicine. Susan Weed is an amazing herbal expert. She is some people consider to be top in the field of herbal magic and herbal medicine. She knows the plant. She knows the plant world. She knows human experience and brings a great attitude into the whole thing. So check it out. This Tuesday is the first one. August 13th. Tuesday, August 13th. Susan Weed, our new show, Green Magic. I'm very happy to be co-hosting that show with her this coming Tuesday and week thereon. And Wednesday evening, flagship show, the one that started it all, Main Street Universe. And that's the one I founded with Kevin Baird in the chat room. Hello, Kevin. And my co-hostess now is Denise. And Denise R. White, as well as Brett Hillman. This week, our guest is Amber Kay, the author of True Magic and many, many other. So Amber Kay is our guest this week on Main Street Universe. Thursdays, we have another fairly new host for the Main Street Universe Radio Network. That is Queen Mother Mahu with her show Uat Au. She's an expert and high priestess in the Kemetic African Egyptian tradition and connection. A lot of people know, or they just don't remember. Look at a map. It's of Africa. Now, on Friday evenings at midnight, we have Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Your hostess, Jesse Ann Nichols George. Also, two books going on four, and we look forward to those two new books coming out and the new book tour and all of that. That's Friday evenings at midnight. We have another host going to be on the way that is, we're working out the schedule, so we'll be eventually, not in the near future, a topic of seven shows. So, we are growing and growing and growing. And now I'll bring on, from the magical city of New Orleans, to Darren. Care. Welcome, Darren. Make it on.
Hello. Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to Spiritual Insight with Darren Bucare. Daniel and Michael, my co-host. Today, with the element of fire and with the element and the idea and the myth behind one of the most mysterious, possibly misunderstood, and powerful, iconic, mythological creatures ever created by the idea of man and the power of magic, the phoenix, and the story of the phoenix. This is something that's a Pan-Asian kind of a fable of sorts. I say Pan-Asian because some European countries also have adopted, or Western ideologies have also adopted this creature as a symbol of rebirth and through the power of fire causing the channel of rebirth and the energy being reborn. Because as we know, energy cannot be destroyed, only transformed, as we all know. So,
absolutely.
Daniel, Michael, anything to add about the phoenix, or anything, the idea of the phoenix, the story of the phoenix, or should we just jump in by talking about what it is exactly?
Well, I guess what I get from the phoenix is just as the show title suggests, and that's the rising from the ashes. And even as a kid, before I barely knew what was what, I always felt like that we didn't just live one life, basically. And the phoenix is sort of representative of that, or it's at least representative of some sort of transformation. Some say immortal, some say partially immortal, but there might be an expiration date somewhere there. But there's this many trials, tribulations. You can sort of rise from the ashes and become the new thing and perhaps the better thing, the thing that's progressed and become
the
greater.
I like the idea that you just said, that it's not completely immortal. Like, maybe there is an aspect of its birth, death and rebirth, that part of it is not coming back. It's not coming back the same every time. It is changing. Because where would the transformation be in that sort of death and rebirth if we came back completely the same?
And I agree, and I think that's how humans are. I think we come back, if I die, I don't necessarily come back as Daniel Michael. I come back, of course, as someone else, a new baby that grows into a bunch of new experiences and a new life and all new everything else, and hopefully brought the skill sets I had, hopefully that I developed during this life, to enhance the one after, or at least to be enhanced in the one after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the case, and I think that's what we need to really explore tonight a little bit with the idea behind the phoenix, that we're not going through these trials and tribulations, these baptisms of fire, to necessarily come out the other end and be the same. We need to lose a little part of ourselves along the way and gain a part. And it's that part that we gain that we can look at as the spring of, or the eternal wellspring and the transformation of energy that is the real beautiful part of life. You know, we can cry for our former selves. We can cry for the person that maybe, say, you know, was that wonderful breakdancer at a nightclub, or for that person that was the tennis pro that we used to know. And now that tennis pro, maybe they're a florist, you know, and he used to teach tennis and it's in a country club and talk to all the ladies and stuff. And you know, now he just is a florist. And maybe he really loves flowers and loves that sort of thing. And it's his life is very enriching. But at the same time, he really mourns for that person that was the tennis pro that all the ladies like to talk to and stuff. And as long as he mourns for that person, then he's never going to be able to continue on his path. Mm-hmm. He's never going to fully embrace the ideology of the phoenix and what it means and that sort of thing, and the element of fire. And then as far as we know about fire, it's usually not a fun, transformative medium. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like hell. But
yeah, I mean, when you're,
again,
you have to be burned instead of doing it through the, say, the integrated calm wisdom of, say, an earth lesson, which is maybe the power to be silent a little and to be calm and still. When fire has to be your motivator, it reminds me of a saying that destiny pulls you and fate pushes you. Almost like if it's fate, meaning the fire aspect of that state, then something's got to like almost push you off into the middle of the road, or something's got to push you, somebody's got to nudge you, instead of being naturally drawn towards your direction, if you know what I mean. You need
to
kick.
Fire is not a gentle, playful thing. Let's look at the other elements, you know. Let's look at the other elements. If the other elements are at play, then water, you could be nudged by water. You could be slowly drifted into the situation. Wind, of course, can do something similar as well, you know. However, with fire, that's not a relaxed, you know, that's a serious, there's some serious stuff happening with fire. You know, that's going to really jerk you into the situation very strongly. So that's where, you know, it's not going to feel nice when it happens, but as you transform into it, then you're going to really gain something powerful. You know, you're going to lose a huge amount. You're going to lose a big part of yourself, but you're also going to have to fill that part up, that vacuum up, with something else very strong and resolute. And what is that something? That's the question. What is that something that you're going to fill it up with?
And again,
so that.
Go ahead.
So what we have to look at with the phoenix is there's something just really mammothly powerful about this avatar of energy, and how do we really embrace fire if it's painful? You know, how do we embrace a situation that just is scary when there's really, you know, if we don't have the strength to deal with it? And that's what I help a lot of my clients through, or what, you know, I speak to them about, and sometimes it's not a fun conversation.
I do remember one tale of the phoenix that, in its more direct mythological form, I guess, of what phoenix was doing, it, one of its first tasks, or its very first task, once it arose from the flame, was to fly to the temple of the sun at Heliopolis, of course, in Egypt. There's all sorts of myth about, you know, a mummified corpse that it visits and it lays upon the altar. So again, you got like this whole imagery of death. And it's an image, a whole country, Phoenicia, named itself after this mythological creature, some people say.
Yeah, Phoenicia. That's really, definitely, if you look at that, I mean, just really, really embracing that concept and saying we are unstoppable. You can destroy us, but we will be reborn. We are creatures of the sun. And, of course, it was quite warm in that area of the world, you know, if I'm not mistaken. So the Temple of the Sun, though, Daniel Michael, what do you think about that whole idea behind the Phoenix flying to the Temple of the Sun? What do you think the significance of that was?
I think it was to have a sense of purpose, meaning, okay, I've now risen out of the ashes, so what's my next purpose? What have I evolved into? And according to, and I'm not reading, I'm kind of just winging it here, but I remember the legend a little bit, and it involves
Phoenicia. Winging it like the Phoenix?
Hey, winging it, hey, dude. not out in the studio tonight, I couldn't hit the cymbal and snare.
yeah, where's your cymbal now?
That's right. Where is your symbol now, mister?
Yeah.
But, and it had something to do with it goes to help, it lays on the altar and then flies to help settle the country of Phoenicia and stays there for a long time, however many, you know, centuries or however long it was, until time to move on from that thing. So that was like a sense of purpose. It woke up going, okay, now I have to do this. And so that's like saying, okay, you've learned all these lessons, and you've been dead and then reborn, and now you wake up, hopefully, and that's the part of it I'm getting from, hopefully with a sense of a little bit of continuation of what to do with that, what to do with those lessons, and continuing. You should bring more skills.
Yeah, the Phoenix does not seem like any sort of inert sort of energy at all, like fire itself. The fire is a purposeful element. There's nothing lackadaisical about fire. Whereas earth, you can maybe say, well, maybe not so much. You know, air, no. That would be an active element as well. And, you know, water, it could be placid. You know, so we're looking at fire. This creature of fire is reborn, and he goes flying off to the Temple of the Sun. Now, you're saying the Temple of the Sun was in Egypt, correct?
Yeah, Heliopolis, I believe it was.
So Heliopolis has to do with either, we're going to either look at Apollo, or we're going to look at Ra, or both. Because the Greeks, it would be Apollo, and for the Egyptians, it would be Ra. And
now,
either way...
Here, but it's, they kind of have a similar theme, if you know what I mean.
mm-hmm.
But go ahead.
You know, Apollo, the Temple of Apollo was a huge ideology back then. Now, if it was Heliopolis, then obviously it was Greek. So.
Right.
I mean, when Cleopatra ruled the Roman, the Egyptian Empire, she was Greek, you know?
Mm.
I mean, most people that know history understand that, but...
Had relationships. They were back and forth, and the Persians and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
the Ptolemaic dynasty was, I mean, that's a, you know, it's Greek, so... But it was just, it was very politically, I mean, there was assassinations, a brother against sister, and all sorts of craziness. But, you know, I mean, Egypt was a huge power. They had the breadbasket of the world. And that's largely, I think, why we tend to, you know, wield so much power is we have so much fertile land in such temperate climate that's not either too hot or too cold to feed so many people. So that's where we wield quite a bit of power that way. And so did Egypt at the time. For the Nile Crescent and the fertile crescent of the Nile, Cleopatra really did a lot with what she had. And that's why she said, oh, I'm going to take out the Roman Empire. I'm that rich.
Right.
I don't like what they did. They killed my ex-lover. Or I think she did marry Caesar for a short time. And you know what? You guys are a bunch of jerk faces, or whatever she said that was probably, you know, not quite as nice. And she went after him. You know? Uh-huh. So she adopted Mark Anthony as her little pet or whatever, and she went after him. And she was that rich that she actually maintained the campaign. I'm not sure how long it was, but it was at least a good full, like, 3 or 4 years. And according to, as far as I know, if Octavian, who became Caesar Augustus, wasn't so savvy, and he was at a very young age, she probably would have won. So we may, instead of using the Roman numeric alphabet, we might be using a hieroglyph right now on our English papers, which wouldn't be English papers. They would be Arabic papers.
Maybe some other kind of papers.
isn't that wild to think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, there's so many legends like that, like, there's the one of, and this involves, again, Rome, like, here's Rome again coming up. The legend of the she, if you remember the legend of the crystal ships.
Mm-hmm.
And I see we have a caller, and I'll get to that caller. And that legend of the mm-hmm. crystal ship was the Rome. Some people think that historically the Roman army actually destroyed an actual race of sort of Tolkien-like elves, the she or the sid, he, as it looks like it's spelled. Mm-hmm. And some people mm-hmm. think that had they not done that all of world history could have been different. They were trying to flee having enough to do with humankind to another place, and were ambushed by the Romans. And there's actually a Roman account.
Good job, Romans. Thank you. Thanks, Romans. We don't like
some
you.
Also say
you're
that Christianity
different.
Might not
we'll
have
smash yourself.
That if the event hadn't happened. And that
we
humans
don't like you. You're different than us. We'll smash you. I don't know. I mean, but then again, we might not have sewers.
We
might be plagued with disease. Without, you know, it's like there's the... I really find the Julio-Claudian dynasty of, obviously I know a bit about it, to be fascinating. So,
oh, absolutely.
It's one of my favorite subjects.
And, of course, the great philosophy.
And the French Revolution.
Yeah, I mean, and all the Greco-Roman period had the amazing, you know, philosophers and amazing magicians.
Mm.
And,
oh, yeah.
Just like the Egyptians, who, you know, who was
well,
magic.
It's just so vibrant compared to when you get into the medieval times. It's just, what the heck? You know, nobody was doing anything. You know, like, they were just like, huh? And in fear for either their immortal souls or their lives or whatever.
Darren, we do have a call.
Yeah, let's take the caller.
Go ahead and shift over to it. 937, you are on the air.
Hello. Hi, my name is Sandy.
Welcome, Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I was just wondering if you were doing readings.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I certainly am.
I'd like to know what you see for me for love life coming up.
Your love life coming up in the near future.
Yeah, I'm hoping, put it that way.
For Sandy. All right, yeah, no, that's fine. Check it out.
Speaking of
fire. Had a very powerful day. Did a lot of energy cleansings today of apartments and people and things, so a lot of good vibrations today. All right. Sandy, emerald, lime green, or orange?
Orange.
Orange. Okay, very good. Of course,
oh,
my
lime
deck
green.
Has the tree. I have two green decks tonight that I pulled up. But the orange one has the tree of Sephiroth on it, so that's a very good choice. All right. Moving forward, so Sandy's love life. Moving in, it's a really wonderful deck. It's the tree of Sephiroth and all kind of wonderful imagery in it. Okay, one moment.
Okay.
All right. I want you to kiss any frogs here. Let me ask my spirit guide. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Have you tried dating sites?
I don't belong to any. I've went on them and looked.
If you start getting into that again, you're going to kiss a couple frogs, and I want you to avoid that.
Okay.
Okay. I think that there's an organic way for you to meet people. Where do you live?
Ohio.
Okay, where in Ohio?
Troy.
Troy, okay. Not familiar with that. I have a huge family. A lot of them live in Cleveland, so.
Okay.
That's where I'm familiar with that area and kind of Columbus and that sort of thing. Let's see. I'll ask what you can do outside of dating sites. What I'm seeing is you're getting prepared. At the Nine of Wands, the Wands are structures, plans, and organizations for the future. So they're moving forward. It's like this card's like planning to go to college. If you're planning to go to college, you have to do a lot of the running around, the writing essays, and doing a lot of stuff to prepare for college.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you get it all done, if you do it in the springtime, you'll be in college in the fall, and you'll be happy. But however, if you don't get it done and you drag your feet, it's going to be August, and you won't have it done, and then you won't be in college for that semester. You'll have to wait till January. So you're going to do this. You're going to do a lot of the work that it takes to meet the proactive work, to keep yourself open, to be positive, and to meet somebody new. However, I think that you're intellectualizing it too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think that spiritually, I think you need to pray a little bit more to open your doors up that way, energetically and emotionally. Because I'm getting the King of Wands inverted, and that's kind of somebody that doesn't that acts like they're very structured and have their stuff together, and they kind of act like they're a big deal, and they really don't know exactly what they're doing. And then I get the Devil inverted, which just means that this person might have some chemical dependency or something. You don't want that, right?
Right. Nope.
You don't want that. You know, they're out for a
no,
good
no.
time. You know what I'm saying? And that's not what you're looking for at all. So I'm going to ask what would be good for you to focus on. So I see in the next 6 months, if you're doing the groundwork and you're intellectualizing too much, you're not letting God or Jesus or, whatever connective energy you have with higher energy, you're not letting that take control.
Okay.
Like I tell people all the time, before I met my wife, I said, okay, hello, I want, and I ask the powers that be that I talk to all the time, I say, please, I would love somebody to share my life. And it's 2.5 months, or it's like between a month and a half to 2 months later, so I'm not sure exactly when I asked that, but about 2 months later, poof, I met her. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
I'm saying to you that I think that would be a good idea, but I'm going to ask too. Hold on.
Okay.
Because what it looks like for me is that in about 2 months you'll meet somebody, and you feel like you're wasting your time, and then feel like it's kind of like, not so much, and then you just throw yourself really back into work very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of running in a circle, so we don't want to do that. So hold on.
Now I talk to the angels.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, then have you asked to meet somebody that you can share your life with?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay, like a companion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you need to relax into that a little bit more. I'm saying you're on your way to this.
Okay.
You're intellectualizing a little bit too much, and if you go to websites, it might steer you in some of the wrong directions right now.
Okay.
Now, that begs the question, well, then how the hell are you supposed to meet somebody? So I'm going to ask right now for you, okay?
Okay.
Because if not websites, and you're saying Troy, Ohio, and I don't know where that is, so that probably means there's not probably a ton of places to go, you know what I mean, bop around and just kind of
right.
socialize. So then it leaves, So here, so let me take a look. One moment, please. Hold on. Check it out. What should Sandy do coming up to really connect with somebody that's beautiful to share her life with? Okay. This is telling me you have to be the aggressor, okay? I think this has tapered off in the past couple of years, so maybe 5 years. You're not the high priestess anymore. The high priestess is a moon goddess. She's sexy. She's vivacious. She has all these mysteries, and men want to gravitate towards her. My spirit guide's telling me, and the cards are telling me that you need to be that vivacious moon goddess. You need to be the high priestess, okay? You need to be that person. Maybe let's take a look at what you've been kind of wearing lately and let's make it a little bit softer, you know what I'm saying? Maybe make it a little bit more beguiling.
A little sexier things that I have I understand.
Right. Oh, you get where I'm coming from then. Okay.
Yes.
Because I'm trying to help you. I want to tell you this. I got a direct message from my spirit guide that you'll be able to breathe at some point. I hate to say that it might be early next year. but it might be, okay? And that's okay. Let it happen on its own accord. But what you can do to speed that along is be the high priestess.
Okay.
And the high priestess is no joke. Okay, she walks in, and everyone's like, whoa, who's her? What's going on with her? Like, what's happening? What kind of energy does she command? So use, you know, ask the angels for help. Ask them, now, who would be good for that? I don't know. I think Raphael wants you to heal. I mean, honestly, wants you to be comfortable. And healing, you know, Raphael, I think, is the one on the lover's card. And he's there because when you meet that other match for yourself, you're healing yourself by feeling whole. So you need to feel whole, and you need that somebody. So I think that would be great.
Fantastic. That sounds good. I think I can follow that.
Yeah, not far away. Not far away.
Not far.
We'll get through the fall, and then you might have an interesting holiday season, and then you'll be ready to meet somebody.
Well, that sounds good. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Don't forget High Priestess. That's your card to focus on. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sandy.
Have a great day. I love you.
You too.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thank you very much for calling Spiritual Insight with Darren Mooker.
Oh, just to mention, everyone, if you want a private consultation, you can get a hold of me at dbucare, and that is dbucare@gmail.com. dbucare@gmail.com.
Okay, Darren?
Yeah.
There's a caller, but right before the caller is a chat room question.
Okay.
From the chat room,
let's
which we
really quick take that chat room question. What was the question?
Okay, the question is, it's from Allura Everness.
Allura, okay.
And it says, is there a job coming my way? And 404, we see you there, and we will get to your call.
Okay. All right, it's from Allura, and she wants to know, is there a job coming her way? Is it okay if we ask what state she's calling from? Can you go ahead and do that for me?
Can you hear, Allura? What state do you come from?
Yeah, what state are you calling from? That helps me localize your energy a little bit. You don't have to tell me exactly what city. It helps me localize the energy a little bit. So that way maybe it helps me tie into it a little bit more.
Georgia, GA.
Georgia, okay, and then green, emerald, or orange?
He's asking you to pick a lore. Green, emerald, or orange.
Green, emerald, or orange. Did we get an answer yet? I didn't start my chair.
Tick, 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 as you see typing.
Okay.
Green.
Green. Okay. One moment. All right. Sorry, on the job horizon here. Take a look. One second. You're releasing regret. I also saw, so the Five of Cups inverted, you're releasing regret. There may have been some mishaps and some, like, you know, little stumbles on the way with your career a little bit. I want to tell you that in the next couple months, you're going to be releasing a lot of that negative energy that kind of, it's creating kind of a just a vortex around you that's not exactly pulling in positive, positive affirmations. So what we're seeing is the Five of Cups inverted means that you're going to release a lot of that. I'm also getting something pulling together through my spirit guide about you doing something a little bit more tactile with your hands, but that's completely positive, okay? So that's you working with maybe like face-to-face with, and it could be with people or actual objects, but it's like you doing more with your hands to a point of where you're present in the situation, you're manipulating things in a tactile way, and it feels wonderful, positive, and enriching. So one moment. Again, I got the Eight of Cups. That's about walking away from all these negative emotions. Okay, so obviously, in the last 8 to 9 months, we haven't felt like the just the most dramatically positive as we've ever felt. Okay, you're walking away from interpersonal drama. You're maybe not taking the phone calls you used to take from people. You're maybe not taking a lot of the responsibility you used to take on from other people. And then I get the Ace of Cups. And the Ace of Cups is total. There is some wonderful emotional transformative energy for you. So if this is a job where you're working with things that it may not be the most high-profile job you've ever had, so what? Take it. Work through some. It will be meditative for you. It will be beautiful for you. And then I guarantee it, and I feel this very strongly, in 6 to 9 months, you can start looking for something that's highly, highly upwardly mobile, but you can also integrate what you've been doing for the last 6 to 9 months as well. Because the Ace of Cups means that you've been waiting for that tumult, that waterfall, that super explosive emotional energy. Now, what does that also mean? If you get the Ace of Cups, somebody is going to help you open that up. Somebody's going to help you transform yourself emotionally. Okay? So this is really, you're on a path to beauty, but it's not about you making more money. It's not about you organizationally conquering your professional goals. It's about emotional transformation. And it's about releasing some pitfalls that you've had in the past and looking forward towards positivity. So very happy to see that for you. Ace of Cups is your card to focus on. And the Eight of Cups. And then leaving behind the Five of Cups, which is regret. So a lot of cups there. So toast to yourself. I'm happy to see that.
All right. So it looks like something positive is coming up, but something where you vibrate emotionally in a different way, a new way, you know, the Ace of Cups, the newness. And Aurora says, thanks.
Okay.
You get kind of job that just is like, you know what, this feels a little better, right? Is that sort of what you're getting at, Darren?
It's, you know, everyone would like to, when we're having financial troubles or we're hitting a point where we don't know what we want to do. Oh, look, I got a smiley with a butterfly. Thank you, Aurora. I appreciate that. You know, you're going to get more of those smileys and the butterflies for yourself. Believe it. Believe it. I'd love to tell you that it's what's coming is some great mammoth job where you're going to get paid tons of money, but sometimes it's not what you need. And your spirit guide wants you to have what I just described. And that will, I think, the following maybe 9 months from now to a year, that will get you that next giant professional boost. But right now you need this professional this emotional situation, and it looks good to me, so I'm happy to say that.
Okay.
And see that, rather.
Thank you for your question, Aurora. Remember, everyone there new to the chat room since we started talking, there's a couple, remember that, or since I announced it, that you can ask a question from the chat room. But first, we have 404 who's been waiting patiently now for about 8-9 minutes, and we're going to get 404, you are.
Hello.
Ready.
Yes, great day. How you doing?
Very good. Hello. Welcome to Spiritual Insight. Okay. What's your name?
My name is Zen. And
Ben.
I have a question.
Right, welcome.
Whenever.
Any thoughts on the Phoenix or the idea of rebirth, baptism of fire, anything like that?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Any thoughts on the myth, the story, the power, the energy behind the phoenix and baptisms of fire, enduring something extremely difficult and painful just to come out of it and be transformed and reborn?
Okay. Yes.
Or do you just have a question about, like, a second question?
I do have a question. So
okay,
my question
sure.
is, I would
I
like
ask
to know
about the topic first, just because that's, you know, the topic. Yeah, what's your question?
Okay. I would like to know who or what is blocking my money. It's like everything just fell off
mm-hmm.
this month. I don't know what happened.
Oh.
Mm.
Just this month.
Yeah,
okay.
July. Well, July, end of July, yeah.
Okay. So you're saying it's been 2.5 weeks is what you're talking
about? Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, okay. So So that's not quite a whole month, but I mean, all that means something, believe it or not, Ben. That's pretty recent. So, orange, emerald, or just green?
Emerald.
Emerald. Okay.
Emerald.
Emerald. Sounds good to me. Okay. What is blocking Ben's money? Take a look here. One moment. Okay.
Okay.
One. All right. There's something going on with your industry and the area you're in, and there's people that have hardened themselves to interacting with you, okay?
Okay.
I feel like they're male people. I feel like you don't have any flow or interaction with them. The connectivity and energy you had with them, where it was just a constant back and forth, good vibes, what I'd look at, that channel of energy is hardened, like a hardened artery where someone's about to have like a heart attack. I don't know why it's hardened. I can ask, but I'm seeing that channel is not working. And then I kind of was digging in, like, well, what do you do? Are you in sales, or what was going on, or what was going on back and forth? Then I'm feeling like the outlying areas that normally had more business are aren't doing as well in the past 2 months that have related to the last 2 weeks. So it's been a trickle down effect. So the people that normally interact with you and want your business and want your flow don't need it because they're having problems. But it's also, it might be personal, and I'm not sure. So I have to look into that.
Brother, you pretty good, man.
Thank you.
That's really good because I'm a light worker also. And so that's pretty good. And I'm just sitting here wondering, like, what has happened. And it's been the last, last month.
But did you say you're a light worker as well?
I'm a shaman, actually. But you're pretty good, man. That's wonderful because not a lot of people can read me. So that's excellent.
Well, I didn't read you. I had to read the situation. You have a tremendous amount of protection up. You do. I couldn't get into your stuff, but all I could see was that clogged artery. And then I could see the winds blowing in the opposite direction around there. Where do you live?
Georgia.
Georgia. Oh, he just okay. Wow. Okay, this is the second person.
Lots of Georgia.
Now I learned a lot of what I knew. I began as a medium in Savannah. But I know that there's a lot of areas in Georgia that aren't as New Age friendly. Obviously, you know. But maybe, I know, you want me to ask what to do in this situation, or what do you want me to do?
Yeah, I want to ask that, brother, but I also want to say you were also right about the area. I'm in Atlanta, but what I'm thinking about doing is moving to California because, you know, yeah, but you were exactly right on that. And so what should I do? I mean, what should I do?
I don't want to say it sounds like people are talking. This is what it felt like. It felt like people were bouncing energy off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, man, we're not messing with, like, we're not dealing with him, you know, or something. And it didn't make any sense to me because what you do has not changed. And what you do is still, whatever you were sending out or whatever service you were doing for people when I initially looked at this was not anything negative. You know, it was still the same quality product or service that you've always been doing. But what's been happening in the outlying areas, things have changed for other people, and they're starting to get hateful. So let's look at, when I say hateful, they're just not. They're maybe blaming you for stuff that has nothing to do with what you do or what you said.
Oh, my God, man. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. I get phone calls like that here and there, and I have to tell people, I say, just because I said that you know, I mean, sometimes your company is going to shut down. And I'll tell you to look for another job, and then you call me and say, the company shut down. I'm like, well, that's why I told you to look for another job. You know, I didn't make the company shut down. I'm trying to help. And usually people realize that, but sometimes, you know, it just, unfortunately, you ever hear, like, in the restaurant industry, if somebody says one bad thing, and then it's like, honor, you get my point.
Right. One bad review. Right.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely get that, man. So should I move to California? Because that's my next big thing.
Well, I'm going to ask if you stay, what'll happen, and then I'll ask if you move, what'll happen. So I'll do that right now. Hold on.
Thank you, man.
You'll work through this if you stay, okay? You got to remarket, repackage, and remarket yourself. You have this little niche group, okay?
Well,
leave those people.
Yes.
Cut them loose, done. I don't care if you go hang out in Little Five and talk to X and X people, or you have a couple shops you work with, cut them loose. You're in a big city. You're in a hub of the South, of America, of, you know, North America. You can do a lot. There's a lot of little epicenters, okay? Look at your marketing, repackage. What I'm seeing here, first up, is the hermit inverted. So that means you have to thrust yourself into the community at large. You know, just be known, be seen, be heard. If you got to take a couple jobs you would normally not take, take that job. You know, when I got back here to New Orleans, I couldn't just walk into Marie Laveau's like, hey, I want my whole schedule back. Nah, I had to do every little party, every little whatnot job. You know, and I still had a lot of my clients from outlying areas all over the country, and that's great. But while I was here in the day-to-day work, I had to take, you know, what I could. And eventually people left or moved on, and then I got my whole schedule back. So this is, you have to reorganize what's going on with you. And then you have to make yourself known. You can't play Mysterious Ben anymore, because Mysterious Ben, a couple people have soured the pot because I'm going to say it again, they're being hateful. They're being hateful.
Wow.
So they're messing it up for other people. And you know what? Maybe you don't need to be sucked into their energy anyway. Have you had some consultations with maybe 3 or 4 people that you're just like, why do they keep asking me the same negative stuff all the time? Your spirit guide doesn't want you to deal with them anymore. You realize that?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you're right on, man. I mean, everything you're saying, I've heard, and this is a confirmation. And I definitely gotta get your information, because I definitely would like another reading with you or something, because wow, it's good. That's good.
You got it. Well, you know, and I also live through it. I know when I hit that point too with a couple people I used to talk to in D.C. all the time, and what they were talking about was just negative, and I couldn't. You know, if you're not gonna change, the universe will change you, or your spirit guide will, or Yamaya, or whoever. I have a lot of different, you know, higher energies I deal with, and they're not going to let me do that kind of thing. Here's the positive, ready? You take a step back with your money for a minute. Okay, the Three of Pentacles means you're not going to move forward with your money. You take a step back to move 2 steps forward. Then you get the Queen of, so the Three of Pentacles inverted, the Queen of Pentacles, right side up, okay? So that's looking at maybe 3 months from now, 2 months, 2.5 to 3 months from now, boom, we get the Queen of Pentacles right side up. So I'm not saying that there's a lady out there that wants to pay your way. I am saying that there's somebody that believes in you, that maybe wants to invest money in you and what you can do if you're positive. And maybe you might be having some romantic. I'm not sure exactly how that's working, but at any rate, she is going to help bolster your marketing, bolster your professional persona. And then the star.
Yeah.
Do I need to tell you what the star means?
Go ahead.
Star is
the
star of new hope. It's light at the end of the tunnel. It's new energy.
Jeez.
You make the ATL what you want to make it, you know. And you're just stuck in a niche right there that was working for you. but it needs to transform. So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
California,
that lady.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that lady, I know exactly who she is. She's been telling me, Zen, you need a website. Zen, you need this.
Uh-huh.
But wonderful work, man. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, California, I would do your own soul searching on that. I don't mind, you know, I just got too much positive stuff about where you're at to look, you know, I mean, don't, you're going to split hairs with that? I don't think you're done yet.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think you're done yet.
Wonderful, man. So your information, is it on the Blog Talk here or what?
Yeah, well, I'll just remind everyone, my name is Darren Gucair. You can reach me at D as in dog, D, B as in boy, D-B-U-C-A-R-E, D Gucair, and that's at gmail.com. Or you're welcome to call Marie LaVeau's. In New Orleans, Louisiana, Marie LaVeau's house on Bourbon Street. So don't get a hold of me. But just go ahead and email me, and then we could schedule something. I do phone readings all week and, you know, energy cleansings and past life regressions and whatever is going on and what we can work with, and that's, and if I can deal with it, then that's what we do. So.
Okay. My wife didn't get your email. Can you repeat that for me?
Yes, it's D as in dog, B as in boy, U as in ultimatum, C as in cat, A as in ant, R as in rodent, E as in elephant. Just think of animals. So D who care at gmail.com.
Okay. All right. So good, man. Keep doing what you're doing, brother, because you are very good at it, man. I mean, do you know how hard it is to find people that can really read and not do these people do these cold readings? And so you're wonderful, man. Keep doing it.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's my path. I mean, I'm all about helping people. You know, that's it. So as long as I stay on that path and on the true path, and it all comes together for me. I get the messages, you know, as long as I keep it real and just help people. So I appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, peace and love, man. Thank you.
All right, peace and love, buddy.
And thank you very much for calling. And remember that we have other readers on the network. You know, if you like esoteric conversation, we got that too. We got a great herbalist, Susan Weed, on the network, a great green medicine. So what a great call, you know, and with definitely some nice hits there. You're going through a little bit of tough time.
I always appreciate that. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to say I bend over backwards to help people, but, I mean, I really, really try. I really send my energy out there, you know, and that's why, yes, occasionally that person that wants me to go check on their ex-boyfriend when he's in Dubai or whatever, sometimes I got to stop talking to that person because it's just not, it's not the kind of work I should be doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting when, you know, people meet with someone and it connects. When you meet with a reader and it connects, and I've seen it so many times with Kevin Baird and with Darren. That's why I enjoy it. When I first met Darren at Six and Stones, I didn't know him from anybody, and I thought it was a great reading. He first looked at my palm, and I was like, wow, that was really, really great, you know what I mean? And but anyway, we're going to go ahead to the next caller, Darren.
Okay.
And that is 808.
Mm-hmm.
And
hello.
You're on the air, 808.
Hello.
Hello, my name is Leilani. Hi, my name is Leilani, and I just wanted to see what the spirit has to say.
Just what spirit has to say in general, sort of thing?
Yeah, I'm just seeing maybe a message.
Well,
that
not
I haven't
general,
really
but what comes out? What comes up? Okay.
Yeah.
Just I like that moment. Emerald. Green or orange?
Emerald.
Emerald, okay. Oh. Okay, one moment. Okay. Just a second.
Excuse me?
What's happening with Leilani right at this moment?
What's happening?
Okay. Hold on.
He's asking his spirit guide, by the way, in case you were wondering about that.
I'm asking. I'm just seeing like a big. I'm seeing like you're getting like pestering energy from the universe and from. I don't know what the romantic situation is you're dealing with, but I'm feeling like the energy is not. I said the word pestering. I don't know if that's.
Yeah, it's right. It's aggravating.
It's pestering energy.
But I mean,
I don't think you want to feel like it is, but it's beginning to be that way. And you're,
yeah,
I see
you
like,
me here
if it looked like
kids.
A comic book, it would be you with fairy wings, because you have cute, buoyant, like, fun energy, and it would be like this black, like, kind of a grayish mass of energy, like, kind of, and now this is not the relationship, but this is, like, the world at large, and it's almost, like, seeping through your walls, and you're, like, pushing it back with, like, this, like, rainbowy light type stuff, like, you don't want to be bothered. So then I'm getting other, like, globes of, like, kind of like, light energy behind you that want to interact with you. So there's a lot of positivity and new experiences that could be happening. But you're turned towards the wall where this gray stuff, like, and it's not scary, but it's just, like, blah, you know? So I think that you need to turn your phone off, turn your, you know, stop getting IMs, stop tweeting or whatever, and take a week and try to figure out what you want from those two globes of energy that are powerful, magical energy that you want to cycle into, because that's what the next stage of your life is going to be about. And unfortunately, all like your cool friendships and aesthetic interests, they may have been from the other chapter or from the last movie. And you're ready for the sequel, I think. I can say this, the only card I picked so far is the Five of Swords. And the Five of Swords are intellect, ideas, thought. And but we're saying with the Five of Swords, it means we might have had a really great idea. It just didn't add up to be all it was cracked up to be. And it's really staring that idea, staring that in the face, almost.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Makes perfect.
So let's. Do you want me to ask what you should do?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I mean, I do think you need quiet time for a week. And that's a solid week. You'd be amazed at what a whole week could do. And I mean a whole week, like 7 days. Because even 2 days without, like, being bothered by weird stuff is amazing. But a seven-day period, it's transformative. But let's look. Hold on. Okay. There's a father figure type person that can help you. Male energy, CEO type energy, showing up as the King of Wands, being structured with plans, organizations for the future. He wants to help you kind of legitimize, organize, and kind of set things up so that way you can funnel a lot of your wonderful, charismatic work ethic into something really palpable so that people will recognize it. Can I ask what you do that's, like, you're good at?
I'm a nurse's aide. I take care of people.
You do what? I'm sorry?
I'm a nurse aide. So I'm underneath a nurse. I do home health care. I take care of people. Like, bathe them. I change them. I feed them. I give them love. I massage them. You name it, I probably do it. You know, so
there's somebody that recognizes the sheer gift you have for this. And how what you do is organic and positive, and what some people do begrudgingly, you do very organically, and they're going to lift you up and give you the kind of work that's not only a little bit easier, but a lot more fruitful and a lot more recognized by your peers. And so you'll be paid more, but you'll also be you'll get more work, but more it'll be easier in a way that is just it's more elevated, I guess.
interesting.
Yeah, no, my whole goal is just to take two social problems and create a new way of healing and trying to revolutionize the way that we take care of our old people here in the state.
Well, you need to do more stages of, listen, you need to do more stages of whatever testing you're doing or whatever trials you're running through. You'll need to do more of those, and somebody wants to set you up so that way you can do that. Because you're doing really good work and it's working. So I'm really, here's the thing, do not ignore this person when they want to prop you up. Do you know this person is yet or not?
No.
Okay. Well, he will come by. He will come around. He is probably somebody authoritative, a doctor, somebody who will want to take what you're doing and give you the Eight of Pentacles. So that is the card we need to look for. Two cards, the King of Wands and the Eight of Pentacles. The Eight of Pentacles means you will take what you're doing and replicate it and replicate it and replicate it, and everyone is going to be want more of whatever you're doing. They'll want more of it.
That's exactly what I want to do.
Yep.
Kind of scary.
So it's going to happen. You got to
clean out
your interpersonal stuff a little bit, though. It's interfering.
Yeah, I know. Wow, that was amazing. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
That.
I appreciate it. So nice talking to you. Thank
yeah,
you for
you
calling
too.
In this Sunday.
Much aloha from Hawaii.
Oh,
oh
wow,
okay.
Hawaii.
Mahalo. How about that?
Yeah, right on. Well,
thank you very much.
Until we meet again. That's what it means.
Okay, yeah, call back sometime. Let me know how it's going. All
right, I will.
Let us know
okay,
the progress.
Nice talking to you.
All right, for sure. Take care.
All right. A couple of really nice readings this evening. And Darren.
Yeah, right? I haven't got a call from Hawaii yet. That was cool. I got to roll out my Hawaiian word that I know. Hey, I'm so proud of myself. I've tried to do it before where I just completely screwed up the pronunciation on it, so it sounded terrible, but not that time. I had it down.
Of course.
I'm excited for myself.
We drifted a little bit away, of course, because we had readings from the topic, and which is perfectly normal. We want that, actually. We want callers for readings for this show, for spiritual insight. So our topic was rising above the ashes, the phoenix, and we discussed a few aspects of it. Transformation, rising above, you know, the phoenix having at first, some say, a goal to go to Heliopolis in Egypt and have a purpose to resurrect, I think it was like his own father, but I won't go too much into the myth. It was the idea of dying and then coming back to life, but still feeling a sense of purpose. That's very fire-like, keeping a sense of purpose when you're building like wands. One thing I like about the Nine of Wands, one of the readings we had earlier, I believe, had the Nine of Wands as a card. And it's building and building and building, but in sort of the classical Rider-Waite deck, which is the one I have, the Nine of Wands also comes with, yes, you've accomplished and you've been building when it's upright, but the person is wounded, which would be normal for if you're really busy building things in the
oh, yeah. That's
dramatic of fire. So it can represent being wounded, and when it's reversed, can represent taking care of yourself, you know, and guarding things that are...
It's the very idea of reincarnation. It's the very idea of it. Death and rebirth, but you're gaining something and changing through each life. And that's why we see this myth very, very strongly in Eastern culture, because they're very pro-reincarnation.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think, why we see that as much. Just going through that whole process is something that, I mean, that's why the phoenix dies, but then he takes, if you arise as a newborn creature with a purpose, where did that purpose come from?
Mm-hmm.
It must have come from your past life.
And as we mentioned earlier, that, and I'm an electrician, as my day job for now. And in electricity, energy can never be created or destroyed necessarily, just manipulated. That's just the nature of energy itself. It's simply manipulated, it's sent back. Is it parallel? Is it singular? It takes different forms. But energy itself is not, no one's ever taken a piece of energy and just obliterated it, destroyed it outright. It's never happened. And that's how I view the soul, because the soul is energy. Obviously, it is energy. And so this is why I believe in reincarnation, and you could say it's even a scientific theory. A battery, or the human-made battery in the trick, something like that. But the energy has to go somewhere and has to be something, because it doesn't destroy. It doesn't die. Energy doesn't die like that.
So here's the organic compound. The organic compound is the living, the matrix of memory. That's an idea that a creature like the phoenix would retain, be born with a purpose.
Okay? Right.
Because what's the point of a phoenix other than the fact that it consumes itself and is reborn? If there is no staying power to the former life, then what would the whole point be? It wouldn't be rebirth, it would just be birth. But it is reborn with a sense of purpose, meaning that the organic sense creates some sort of chronological or some sort of base that this, or you know, this creature has, even if its whole energy being, if its whole being is transformed and immolated and destroyed, it still arises with the same, like a similar sense of purpose.
Right, a progression basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's progressed. Like you had a certain skill set in one life, and then you mm-hmm. passed on, and then when you're born again, you keep some of that. You're not still, you know, in my case, my name is Daniel. I'm not still Dan in the next mm-hmm. life. But what's retained in the energy soul is some of the skills I picked up, some of the lessons I picked up, and they stay with me
mm-hmm.
with some sort of similar focus on progression. What I want to do...
Well, one of the things that has baffled me, Daniel Michael, and I'll tell you this,
yeah.
Because the first thing I look at when I look at anyone's hand... is their past lives, because I look, you know, the next thing I look at is age one. So age one, believe it or not, has a lot to do with all the past lives, because that's, you're coming right out of those past lives into age one, and that could be really difficult or really easy, or, you know, you could act like an adult as a child, and then people don't know what to do with you, you know, so that has a lot to do with a lot of stuff. But one thing I noticed, because I look at people's past lives first on their hand, what if I see them in person, is... Holy smokes, if someone had such a great life in one of your past lifelines, like probably the last life was so amazing, why are they having such a terrible time now?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can see that on some levels. So then I ask myself, well, why would you even let yourself go through all kind of crazy stuff if you conquered that in a past life? And I think the answer is you have a different lesson to learn in this life.
Right. In fact... In the life before that was so great, like imagine living in the ease and greatness of luxury, and you might have said, mm-hmm. I wonder what it's like to do that. Like you might have done it all over again. I wonder what it's like, mm-hmm. you know what, I'm skilled. I bet if I started from nothing, I could rise to this level again. And you might have made that like a passion. So the universe said, mm-hmm. okay, we're going to go ahead and grant you that wish. Be careful
right.
what you wish.
You might have been like, you know what, next time. So you might have lived four lives in the lap of like total luxury. And you
right.
took something from one life and went to the next. Wow, this is so easy. After you do that for three lives, you're probably like, okay, I'm so bored with this.
Right. And you're thinking,
there's
but
no
I
challenges.
Bet I'm skilled enough to rise to this level again. So you,
mm-hmm.
you're, so I know rich people, wealthy people that talk like that. And of course they couldn't. They were given everything, but they think they can. And then the next
mm-hmm.
life, they might have granted their wish.
You know, I hate to say this, but it might have went down like this. Oh, maybe I spent my whole life working so hard and suffering and doing all this crazy stuff. You know, and next time I come back, I'm going to do nothing.
Yeah.
I'm going to get drunk the whole time.
I'm just going to...
And you got to wonder, why would somebody do that? Why would they just wake up every day and just act like a jackass and do that? I mean, I don't say jackass on the radio, but, yeah, why would you do that?
You're fine.
And the answer is, maybe the answer is that last in your last life, you just were like, you know, I don't care. You know, I don't know. What motivates people to do that? Who knows?
Mm.
You know, so it's interesting is what we learn in this path of rebirth and death and rebirth and, you know, what we choose to do with it. I've just seen so many people with that are having such a difficult time that they come to me for reading, and I'm like, what's weird is the last lifeline that I see here looks pretty damn consistent, straight, long, and unbroken, you know? So that's, I wonder why. Now, maybe it's not in our hands. Maybe we have no choice in the matter. Maybe that's what, you know, maybe that's what we just have to do. Because that's our destiny. Because we did have a couple of good ones, or easy ones. And the next one, we got to pay our dues a little bit. I don't know. What do you think?
I think I like the idea that it's a contract. And meaning by that, mm-hmm. that we as a soul or a spirit, we sort of write a contract with the universe,
mm-hmm.
God, whatever you want to call it, the goddess, whatever you're comfortable with,
mm-hmm.
and that, or all of the above, and that
mm-hmm.
might be something we can rewrite all the time. However, there's certain destiny things we have to go through. But there's certain
mm-hmm.
aspects of it that we can just sort of, we do have a choice. I definitely believe we have a choice. I think there are certain
mm-hmm.
things we absolutely must learn in this particular life or each one, but it definitely can be affected by choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a little spiritual contract that we can maybe, you know, have a certain thought and almost rewrite a little bit.
Yeah,
or
there's a couple of clauses that maybe you can make an amendment to. Given
exactly,
the situation.
That's what I mean.
If you learn enough in this case and this and that, maybe there's something you can do to kind of get something. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. I believe that some things are predetermined, but there is actual free will on some things. So it's, I believe there's crossroads. The idea of crossroads is very big in Afro-Caribbean mysticism. And what a crossroads represents is the fact that that's a turning point, that's a choice for you. Make one choice or make the other choice.
Yeah.
You know, two of wands. Pick a path. Maybe you get the two wands and you don't want to choose any path. You're like, screw this, I'm not choosing anything. Okay, well, that's a path too. Sitting right where you're at is part of the path. Deciding
right.
not to do anything, that's a path.
It is a choice. A choice not
it
to
is.
Choose.
That's part of the choice.
There's a song. There's a caller now.
Okay.
We'll take the caller. But there's a lyric from a Rush song that says, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. It's from a song called Free Will. But anyway, but it is a choice, yes.
Yeah.
By not deciding.
Mm-hmm. By not doing anything is a choice, right?
770, you're on the air on Spiritual Insight.
Hi, guys. I just tuned in on your conversation. And my name is Maddie, by the way. And,
oh, okay, Maddie. Okay.
Welcome,
Maddie. Hi.
Did I talk to you last week?
Pardon me?
Did I talk to you last week?
Was it last week or week before last?
It might have been the week before last.
What's your name?
Darren.
You are the one from New Orleans?
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. I thought I reckoned. I thought that voice sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did speak with me. But I was thinking about what you guys are saying about past lives and reincarnation.
Yep.
And why did we choose? And what came to mind with me is that I had a regression done some years ago. And what
mm-hmm.
I was told, and what I was told was, well, actually, she went back, pulled up three of my past lives. And everyone was a life of luxury and rich and what have you. And she said, this time, that was just three of them, mind you. It was early American, back in Egypt, and I forgot which other whichever one, the other one. But anyway, she told me this time around, I wanted to see what it would be like to have not, to have and what the under, you know.
Right. I mean, it's got to make things a little more.
I chose the parents that I chose this time around. And I was just thinking, that brought back, it was a reminder for me because I had totally forgotten about that. But I thought, wow, I was told that. And another thing is that in this life, my friends and my family, they would tell you that I act that way, but I don't have the means that way. But I will carry myself and love the high end of everything, but having the riches, like money, that's not in place. And I say, and I often thought maybe it's the memory in my subconscious mind that know that this is what I used to do. That's why I liked it, like everything high end.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you this. Here's the funny thing. My first regression I did was back when I took this regression course in Vermont. It was like two weeks course, and at the end of the 2 weeks, you regress yourself. So that's how I learned to do past life
regression. Regress yourself. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, oh, yeah, well, that's what you do. I mean, it's guided meditation first, but they want to empower you to be able to do it to yourself. So I did. And everybody, at the end of the 2 weeks, we all regressed ourselves, and we all talked about it. But mine, I regressed myself. I was back in this kitchen. And it was like, it looked like maybe the early 50s or something like that, early 50s. And I was opening an oven and pulling, it looked like some chocolate chip cookies out. And I grabbed my little oven mitt and was pulling them out. And somebody came up behind me and grabbed my skirt. And I was like, what? And I looked down. I had this houndstooth like looking skirt on. And someone grabbed my skirt. So I burned my hand on the cookie tray, dropped all the cookies on the ground. And I was like, damn it. And there's a little boy there, and he was like, Mommy, something, something. And I'm like, get the hell away from me. I was just totally, like, terrible, absolutely appalling. Like, get away from me, all this stuff. And I'm like, you know what? This is ridiculous. I'm going to Neiman Marcus and going shopping. You people are a bunch of idiots. I just left the house. I looked in the mirror first, and I looked at my face, and I had black bangs and straight black hair. And I looked at my face, and I looked like every girl I've ever dated. Like tons of girls, like tons, the same exact look in the face. And I was like, you know, the same style, the same. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've been trying to date myself this whole time. Unbelievable.
So what you were saying, that you were a woman in your past life, one of your past lives?
And I was privileged, too. And I don't care about that in this life. I mean, but I have champagne taste. I do.
Yes.
You know, I know more about different types of cuisine and stuff and things that if I had the cachet and the money, oh, yeah, I would be a very educated consumer. I just don't have it.
Yes.
So I get what you're saying.
Yes. Do you find yourself being around those people?
Yes, all the time.
All the time, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot
all
of my clients are those people. A lot of
and,
my
and
clients
you feel
are those
comfortable,
people.
And you feel comfortable around them.
At ease. But I can
at
also,
ease,
they're,
yes.
They're there to ask me questions. They're not calling me to chit-chat. They're trying to ask me what to do with their job or what. And you know what? I can handle those questions because I'm used to dealing with those people.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So this is an interesting topic, you know, and I thought, wow, this is interesting about reincarnation. And I truly believe it, and like, whoa, but
It is interesting. I think that sometimes, like me facing that whole vision, helped me understand what some of my motivations were. Now, did that stop me from being partial to a certain aesthetic in dating? No. I still pretty much had the same aesthetic, you know, the same inclination. But the thing is, I understood why, and I understood what my own motivations were, and I think it helped me understand a lot about myself, you know. So...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's so important to get to know who thou is.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, and I'll see that in someone's hand immediately. I'll see there's a line up, there's like a past life line, and it cuts into your Mauna Luna. I would tell people point blank, you should probably go get a past life regression, because whatever that past life is interrupting your standard conscious mind stuff. It's
yeah.
in there on a daily yeah. basis, and it's easy to see if I'm in person with somebody, definitely.
Yeah, but I've had my palm read a few times, and the key thing is that they all read it differently.
Mm-hmm.
What one well, line may see, what one person see the line, they call it something else, and another person is calling it something else. So I thought, and what my friend said to me, that's what they see. That's how they read. You read how
mm-hmm.
you see.
Well, can I explain something to you, Maddie?
Before yes.
The, their palmistry, what I do with the Ayurvedic palm reading, it's a science. So there is no two ways of doing it. There's a Western method that's chiromancy. That's just like some people that threw together some of the what was known. Henry Cairo went to India and he, you know, researched some stuff, and the Vedas taught him some stuff, but then he developed his method. But the point is, people will look at your hand and they will do a reading, but it is an intuitive reading while they're looking at your hand. A lot of the time, it will have nothing to do with palm reading. Nothing at all.
Well, thank you. Thank
yeah.
you. That's why I
right.
was a little confused. I was a little confused about it. Say, wow.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Because listen, a lot of people, that's par for the course here in New Orleans. There's a lot of people that do palm readings, all sorts of them. But if you
yeah.
come into Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo on Bourbon Street, I will sit down with me and they will tell you Darren Bucare does an Ayurvedic palm reading and a short card reading, and that's my standard reading. Well, when I sit down and do that, I will delineate lines on your hand. I'll draw out what I'm doing and show you the method behind it so you understand. I'll teach you a little bit about palm reading while I'm doing it. But it will be a total different experience than just going to somebody that looks at your hand and goes, I see an M. That means you meet a macho man with money. Because everyone, the first thing they look at is your hand, and it looks like there's an M. That would be your heart line, your head line, and your lifeline. If you don't even know where the lifeline's at, then you don't need to be. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Now, some people do know what they're doing, and they do know the Western method, which is not terrible. It's just not as intricate as the Eastern method.
It's not as accurate.
You know,
okay.
Just make sure the person that they're doing, I want to do a palm reading. Ask them what line is what and where they're located. So if they seem like they have a good grasp of that, then you could, you know, sign up for what they're saying. If they don't seem to know exactly what, because honestly, each finger, everything on your hand is significant. Everything from the where
yeah.
the space between your fingers, the space between your thumb and your palm, the coloration of everything means something.
Oh wow! Even the coloration. Wow.
Yeah, like I tell you right now, if you told me your little cousin George, his pinky's always red, I'd tell you that he's nervous about talking to people. Why?
Oh.
Because your pinky's your Mercury finger. Mercury is the guy with the little wings on his feet, so he wants to talk to everybody. Hello, I'm Mercury. What's up? What's up? What's up? So when I read Kate Hudson's hand, per se, her Mercury finger was way out there. You know why? Because he wants to, hey, look at me, I'm an actress. Hello. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's such an interesting topic, and I'll probably do a show on it. I think maybe 1 week, Daniel and Mike will do a show, and I'll talk a little bit about palm reading and some of my experience with it. And it's just amazing. It's just something I can't do over the phone, per se. I could maybe Skype and do it. I've been thinking about doing that. But it's something that people come into town specifically for, so I can sit down with them and do a palm reading. So
that's going to be a palmistry coming from Australia, I believe, here in Atlanta, Georgia. In September, I don't know if you heard of J.T. Stokes.
Rings a bell.
He's supposed to be one of the world leading palmistry. And he's going to
be here
in one of the Huau Metaphysical Bookstore coming up in September. And I thought, that's interesting.
Go do it. And listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Yes.
Because I will tell you, if somebody makes it their craft and they study it, I give them so much respect, because I actually went to an educational institute, a college of Yodish studies, to study what I did, you know? So I appreciate people that know what they're talking about on the subject.
So one guy that did my palmistry, he was reading from a book.
Yeah, no, uh-uh.
And I thought, a book?
Yes. I want to tell everyone that's listening to this radio program, if someone is reading your cards or reading your hand or reading the runes or reading chicken innards or I don't care what they're reading, if they're consulting a book while they're doing it, I would say unless they're a friend of yours who's learning, I would get up and leave. Because, and this is why, somebody needs to respect you in your life. If they're reading your life and giving you information about your life, then they need to respect you by actually taking the time to learn whatever method that is they're doing.
Okay.
Right.
I was really a little confused with that, and I thought he was looking at a line and looking at a book and trying to tell me what that line means from reading the book. And I thought, well, thank you. Well, I was a little confused with it, but I didn't take it serious. I took it as an entertainment, you know.
And you can do that,
that's how I would have taken
it.
You can take it as an entertainment. But, you know, I have a client that's, you know, I've taken her through a lot of the different, the cards, and I'm teaching her the palmistry class that I teach. It's because she's that interested in it. And, you know, that's the kind of thing you need to do. You know, you're really interested? Sit down, immerse yourself in the information. Do something every day. Learn something every day. And, you know, if you don't know a couple cards, I will have more respect for you if you do a reading and you don't know a couple cards, then you go back and look everything up, you know? Because the idea is at the end of the day, you want to trust your intuition.
Yes.
You want to trust your feelings.
Yes.
Look at the symbology, you know? If you look at a card, it's going to tell you what it is if you sit down and just look at it.
Meditate on it.
Oh, just look at it. Okay. You look at it long enough, you start feeling what it's all about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look into your soul and look into the card, and it'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
now, Maddie.
King of Pentacles, you see this guy with a big gold disc and sitting on a throne and looking all happy and with a big bushy beard and looking like he's got a big family he takes care of because he's got a ton of money. What do you think that means?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes. What did you, someone called my name. Who was that?
Oh, that was me. I was saying, well, Darren is a reader and can we're coming down to it, but if you want, he can do a brief reading for you, a brief tarot reading if you like.
No, he can do that, yes. Uh-huh. I didn't call for that, but he could do that because I just had that reincarnation. I was thinking about that.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Maybe something about a past life.
yeah. Yeah, you can see what you pick up.
Orange, green, or emerald?
Orange, green, or green. Oh,
green.
Emerald.
Okay.
Emerald.
Or emerald, okay.
Mm-hmm.
1 moment.
Same, green, emerald, green, same.
Well, no, I have three decks. One's more emerald, one's green, and one's orange.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, but
I'll
I do like green
right
and
now,
I like emerald.
Left one you said.
And I like orange, too.
Okay. There's some stuff you need to know coming up. How about that?
Some stuff I need to know is coming up?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good.
Or is that another? Is there another question you want to ask about that past life?
I have some money that's owed to me. Do you see that's coming? The last update I received sounds good. Do you see that's coming in the near future?
I have money that's owed to you. 1 moment.
Uh huh.
Maddie has money that's owed to her. What's going on? All right. Two things you need to look at with this. It's going to start coming back to you. However, the person that's paying it back, I'm getting the devil card. What does that mean? Whoever's paying it back to you might mistakenly spend it without really thinking when it's in the process of being paid back to you. However, the last card I get for this is the Queen of Wands right side up. So you will get enough money back to start going forward with the plans that you have for your life. So that's good. So it'll happen. Just watch that this person don't. Well, who's paying you back money? Somebody like a relative or something?
Oh no. It has something to do with a lawsuit.
With a what?
It has something to do with a lawsuit.
This person has a lot of bad stuff in their life, and they don't know how to they got. It looks like the court's going to award you the money, but you're not going to get all of it right away, and they may screw you or screw around on paying it. You get my point?
Yeah, I got your point. Yes.
Okay. So make sure you're up on it. Make sure you make some phone calls, and you make sure the court disciplines or polices the people that are supposed to pay you this money.
Yeah.
They got a very dangerous way of not doing stuff.
Yeah, I think he would pay me. It's just that he's waited for this money for so many damn years because there's a lot of red tape involved, and it has to do with it has to do with the government also. So it's a long, long story.
It has to do with somebody is an asshole. I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to say that on the radio. Somebody, look, I'm getting the devil. So someone's doing you wrong on some. Someone's not letting this happen in the fastest manner. You get my point?
It's probably Congress. It's probably the government. They're holding it back. It's a lot. It's a lot of.
Well, the devil can mean torment and something chained up that can't be released. And then maybe you're the one being tormented. So at the end of the day, you're going to be the Queen of Wands, and you can move forward with your life and not think about this no more. So, okay.
Okay,
long
as
long.
I get what's on the contract that was written up.
Good. Well, I'm excited for you. You can just look, be positive and pray about it. Okay?
Yes, I will. I definitely will.
All right. I'm agreeing with the other proclamation about you just coming together for you, but I am seeing some turbulence. So you got to fight the devil with what? Spiritual power. Send some, you know, the army of angels after it. Pray.
Okay.
You get my point?
The other card.
Don't be passive, because then you'll let the devil win. You get my point? It'll take longer.
So with spiritual power, that's how I fight. Okay.
Spiritual power, that's it. All right. Thank you, Maddie. And thank you, everyone, for calling in. This is Spiritual Insight with Darren Bucare. If you want to get a hold of me for private reading, DBUCARE, and that is at gmail.com. Thank you, Daniel Michael, and everyone.
Thank you,
have
Darren.
A great evening.
And thank you, Maddie. And thank you, everyone else, listening this evening to the Main Street Universe Radio Network. This was Spiritual Insight with your host, Darren Bucare. He's a reader at Marie Glovo's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. Have a great Sunday evening.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.